As Bob so wonderfully shared in the last segment, the Word of God speaks to us via the Scripture, the written Word, and also God speaks to us via the Spirit. And both of them are the Word of God. And we need, of course, both. What the Scripture covers generally in life is filled in with specific information via the Spirit. You can know from the Scripture that it's God's will for you to prosper, for example. But you might need additional information in specific situations of how to receive God's prosperity. For example, where to look for work or what things to avoid. So God fills in the general truth of God's Word with specific information for each of us. And He's that individual of God that He works with each one of us individually. And you see that throughout the Word. As Bob pointed out, He worked a little different with Balaam and talking to him through his ass. Then He spoke to Moses, speaking to him through a burning bush. You know, the Word of God describes a still small voice, but that doesn't mean that that's the only way that He speaks to us. God works within us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And a lot, as that record in Samuel showed, is we need to learn first to recognize the voice of God, and then we need to learn to carry out what God instructs us to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as we looked at earlier, is the one place in the Bible that lists the nine manifestations. Now, you can see their operation in other parts of the Bible, in fact, throughout the Bible, but this is the one concise list of the nine manifestations. It's very significant that this chapter starts with, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you," what? Ignorant. Many, many times Christians neglect the operation of the manifestations, and it's to their detriment. And if you want to know why, well, this verse begins to explain it to us, is because people simply are what? Ignorant. Ignorance is a result of not having been taught. Sometimes ignorance is willful, where people just don't want to know. But if people are ignorant of God's will, can they carry it out? It's impossible. So God doesn't want us to be ignorant. Now, this particular section of Scripture has stood sort of dim for some, or sort of obscured, because of the lack of consistency in translation. And many times when the translators don't translate a passage well, it just simply indicates that they don't understand it very well. The word gifts in verse 1 in the King James Version, and it's in most other translations, it's translated gifts. But in the King James Version, it's put in italics. How many of you are actually reading in a King James Version at this time? It's in italics because the translators added it, and it's not in the text. The word spiritual is the word spiritual matters, or things of the Spirit. And these succeeding chapters are all about things of the Spirit, of which one is gifts. But this whole section isn't about gifts, as we'll see. And people's calling the manifestation gifts is one of the reasons that they remain ignorant. It's very, very important to understand the gift of Holy Spirit is the means by which we can operate nine manifestations. It goes on in verse 7 to say, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to" who? "Every man to profit with all." Now that word "every" needs to be understood in light of every man who has the Spirit. The manifestation of the Spirit isn't given to every person, period. It's given to every man, every Christian, man or woman, of course, who has the Spirit of God. A second problem in translation and people's understanding with this is the word manifestation. The word manifestation is singular, And so people think that simply one of the manifestations is given to each believer. When you work the Word of God, that is impossible, that just one of the manifestations could be given uniquely to just one believer. I'll give you a very simple example. In every fellowship we've conducted here, we have had tongues with interpretation. Right? Now, how many manifestations did that individual operate? Two. Okay. So the idea that you just get one gift or one manifestation is out the window right there. Right? When you understand the pattern of the manifestations, they work together. You need revelation to operate the manifestation of believing, gifts of healings, workings of miracles. They work together. And that's one of the reasons that the word manifestation here is in the singular. Just like fruit of the Spirit in Galatians is nine different fruit, but they all collectively work together. And then the third problem, of course, is in verses 8, 9, and 10, where it says, "For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom." And people read this, "For to one," referring to one person. You know, it's kind of unique that all three of these things I'm pointing out, the word gifts in verse 1, the word manifestation in verse 7, and now the 4 to 1 in verses 8, 9, and 10, all are coming from the same vantage point. And the same vantage point is that a believer can only operate at most one of these particular manifestations. That's the theology that's behind the translation. You see that? That's what brought about the obscurity that sometimes people get. Now, we work through the Word and understand that in verses 8, 9, and 10, it's not talking about to one person. It's talking about to a specific what? Prophet. Bob, you shared with me yesterday as we were discussing this, the technical side of this. What's the technical side of the date of case? Just to show anybody who's concerned about, how do you say that?
Well, it's the date of case of the relative pronoun has. Okay? They don't have to write that. What you do need to know is that the word one, the numeral one, does not appear in that verse. And that is the problem. We see the word one, and what do you think of? Well, one. But that's not the word that's in the verse. It is the relative pronoun, which is usually translated as that or which. And as Doug pointed out, it refers back to prophet, not to the number one.
Okay, so there you go. You know, you work the Word of God so that it fits. We can look at multiple situations, multiple records in God's Word. In fact, throughout the Word, where people operate a number of different manifestations simultaneously. So you get to this, and the theology that's behind it is trying to say, well, you really can't do this. You might be able to do just one. Sometimes I've talked to people about speaking in tongues, and they say, well, I can't do that because I don't have the gift. Have you ever heard that?
Yes.
You know, maybe that's just honest ignorance. It also can be a real cop-out because people don't want to do it. Where God says, I would that you all spake with tongues. In verse 11, it says, all these nine manifestations worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit. That's the gift of Holy Spirit. The gift of Holy Spirit energizes all of these nine manifestations in your life. And then it goes on to say, dividing to every man severally as he, what? Wills. And the he here, of course, refers to the man, the operator, the believer. When you put together verse 1 and verse 11, it tells you why many, many people ignore or don't operate the manifestations. Number one, ignorance. And number two, verse 11, a lack of will. Because if you're going to operate the manifestations of the Holy Spirit, you have to will to do it. How many of you remember the first time you spoke in tongues? You know, quite an eventful day. You know, I have at times taught people how to speak in tongues, and then when it's time to speak in tongues, they just sit there. Well, they haven't yet willed to do it. When you first spoke in tongues, you used your freedom of will to speak in tongues, didn't you? Somebody instructed you, overcame ignorance, and you combined that with your will, and you operated that manifestation. You know, all nine of the manifestations work that way. You get instructed from the Word of God of how to operate the manifestations, and you will to carry it out. Look at Acts chapter 2. Our theme throughout the week, the Word of God is... what we're looking at this morning, the Word of God is the operator's manual for Holy Spirit. The Bible is the instruction manual for the gift that God has given us. Here in one verse of Scripture, it tells you how to speak in tongues. And if a person will read this and understand this verse of Scripture and carry it out, in other words, will to do it, they too can speak in tongues like we have. In verse 4, it says, "And they, the 12 apostles," this is of course on the day of Pentecost, "they were all filled with the Holy Spirit." And that's the gift of Holy Spirit, the first time that anyone could be born from above. The 12 apostles were all filled with the new birth, the Holy Spirit, and began to what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. This is absolutely a monumental event in the history of man. This is the first time that anybody could be born again of God's Spirit. This is why Jesus Christ came, make the gift of Holy Spirit available. You know, if I was a translator of the Bible, this is where I would put the beginning of the New Testament. Right here at Acts chapter 2, because this is the start of the new covenant. And it was marked out by something that had never been done before. They spoke in tongues. But if you read this with alacrity of mind, you can see how you and anyone else can speak in tongues. Because it says, they began to what? Speak. Now, this is what you have to will to do. Right? We saw you operate the manifestations as you will. Well, with speaking in tongues, you have to will to what? Speak. I looked up this word speak in a lexicon. The very first definition was to make sounds. That's kind of a neat definition of speaking, right? You know, my son has a couple dogs. You say, speak them. Not that kind. I guess they make sounds. But for us, when we speak, what do? You make sounds. They began to, what? Speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them, what? Utterance. Now, what does it mean, other tongues? Well, other tongues than what they normally spoke. In this instance, I guess Aramaic. You know, in our instance, for the most part, English. You know, you guys, Portuguese. You know, they spoke a language other than what they normally spoke. Now, how could they do that? Well, it says, as the Spirit, referring to God, gave them, what? Utterance. So, when a person speaks in tongues, how do you do it? You begin to speak, and you don't speak in a known language to you. You make the sounds, and where does that language come from? God. God gives the utterance. I have shared this verse of Scripture with scores of people through the decades that we've been doing this. And, you know, if somebody just simply reads that and wants to speak in tongues, cash right in. Because it tells you exactly. That's one verse of Scripture. You see how that's the instruction manual? You know, it teaches you how to speak in tongues. Now, in many other places in the New Testament, it teaches you understanding of why to speak in tongues. In other words, the profit of speaking in tongues. That speaking in tongues is prayer in the Spirit. It's perfect prayer, making intercession for the saints. Talk about an ability that you can pray for things that you don't know about. You know, things that you don't understand, which, by the way, is a heck of a lot, more than anything we do know or understand, right? It's perfect prayer. And it's also true worship. You know, it's a means by which you can worship God in the way that He wants to be worshiped. So when it comes to the manifestations, we can go to the Word, find out how to operate them, and know why we are operating, what they're good for, what the profit is. 1 Corinthians 12 put quite an emphasis on the prophet. Well, how about tongues with interpretation and prophecy? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is in that same section of Corinthians concerning spiritual matters or things of the Spirit. It says in verse 2, he that speaks in an unknown tongue, the word unknown is in italics, it's added, it's unknown, of course, to the speaker, but not necessarily to other people, because it could be a known language. But it says, he that speaks in a tongue speaks not unto men, but unto who? God. So when you're speaking in tongues, who are you speaking to? God. Okay? Prayer. Worship. You're speaking unto God. And that word speak, again, you know, speak words, make sounds, you know, make noises. It's speaking in a other language than what is your known language. You're speaking unto God. For no man understands. And a word, again, the word him is in italics, which is erroneous. You know, the speaker does not understand what you're saying. When you speak in tongues, do you understand what you're saying? No. Okay? So you're speaking unto God, words you don't understand. And then it goes on to say, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he that prophesies, okay, this is a manifestation of prophecy, speaks unto men to edification and exhortation and what? Comfort. Okay, now contrast verse 2 and verse 3. When you speak in tongues, you speak unto God, not unto men. Okay? When you prophesy, you speak unto who? Men. And so of necessity, if I am prophesying in this fellowship, it's going to be in what language? English. Because it'll be known for men to understand it. Okay, so when you speak in tongues, you speak unto God, words you don't understand. When you prophesy, you speak unto men, words you do understand. Right? Now, there's something common to the operation of both these manifestations. What is it? To speak. The same mechanism of speaking in tongues is the mechanism of prophecy. The prophet is different, and the prophet of prophecy is given here. Edification, exhortation, and what? Comfort. But God's word instructs. So if you're going to prophesy, what are you going to do? You got to speak. You speak. You speak in your language the words that God gives to you. And they will always be words of edification, exhortation, and comfort. And again, if someone will simply take what the Word of God says and apply it and speak the words that God gives to them, they can prophesy. Later on in this chapter, it explains how the corollary between tongues with interpretation and prophecy. All three of these are utterance manifestations. In other words, manifestations that are brought forth by speaking. It's very, very interesting that in the church epistles, there's detailed explanation of the utterance manifestations. In a similar fashion, there is not detailed explanation of the operation of the revelation or the impartation manifestations of believing miracles and healing. You could ask yourself, why? Because the church certainly is to operate all nine. Well, the reason is because the other six existed before Pentecost and are explained in the literature that governs the times before Pentecost. We had a great example of that given by Bob this morning, 1 Samuel chapter 3. What was that an instruction in? How to receive revelation. Learning to recognize when God speaks to you. You know, old Eli was a little tripped out at that time and didn't really quite get it right away. But finally, Samuel realized it was God talking to him. And it's really cool because the conclusion of that particular chapter says from that point on, God continued to speak to Samuel. God continued to give Samuel revelation. He learned how to operate the manifestation, and he continued to. There is equally detailed information about all the other five manifestations available before Pentecost in the Old Testament and in the Gospels. Oh man, you read the Gospels. You talk about the operation of manifestations, not only by Jesus Christ, but by his followers. Because these manifestations are meant to be normative. You know, they're not meant to be something that, you know, it takes years and years for people to grow into, and finally you might get around to hearing from God every once in a while. You know, how long were the disciples, how long were the apostles with Jesus Christ? About a year. And look at how much they grew during that year. You know, now they had the greatest example that they could possibly ever have, showing them how. But they also willed to do it themselves. You know, they were not ignorant, and they willed to carry out the manifestations. I believe that so much of our heart in being here at camp is that we want to do the will of God. We want to do what the Word of God says, the written Scriptures. But we also want to grow in our understanding of how to operate the power of God in our lives, don't we? I mean, isn't that a lot of what we're here for? We want to see God work. And God certainly does work as we allow Him to in our lives. Look at Proverbs chapter 3. Very familiar verse of Scripture to a lot of us, but just so simple in light of understanding how to operate the manifestations of Holy Spirit. It says in verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own," what? "Understanding." You know, this doesn't say that you don't have understanding. You know, we do. I mean, there are many things that we do understand, but our understanding is limited and sometimes it's faulty. You know, sometimes it's incomplete. So it's God isn't saying you don't have understanding. He just says don't lean on it. You know, don't rely on it. And then in verse 6 it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy," what? "Paths." You know, you talk about the Scripture directing our lives. Well, we need to, in all our ways, acknowledge the Word. Acknowledge what the Word says. You know, what's the Word say about a particular situation? How does the Word speak to you as you go to work in the morning? You know, what does the Word say about how, you know, to treat your wife or to raise your kids? Or, you know, the Word gives wonderful instruction. And we're to acknowledge that in all our ways. But also, God fills in the gaps with specific information. And that's also received by, in all our ways, acknowledging Him. You know, some have stated this as practice the presence of God. You know, there's a lot of ways of saying, but go to God, acknowledge Him. He is in you. You know, how many times in the manifestations does he say to us, "I will never leave you, I'll never, never forsake you, I am with you." You know, he's with us wherever we go. So acknowledge him. you know, we do it in prayer. That's a big part of it. I mean, the root word for prayer means to talk to, you know, prosuk, to utter towards, to talk to. You know, as Bob shared so much this morning, you know, we talk to God. We pray to God. We acknowledge Him. You know, He's with us wherever we go. You know, having God inside our minds. You know, God's Word. You know, acknowledging His presence. And when we do that, what does He promise? He says, He shall direct thy, what, paths. And that certainly includes receiving word of knowledge, word of wisdom, and discerning of spirits. You know, how valuable is that? Word of knowledge, very simply, is, you know, gaining needed knowledge about specific situations. You know, so that you know. You know, word of wisdom. You know, is knowing what to do in situations. You know, how often do you get in life where you just say, you know, if you're honest, you say, I don't know what to do. Right? You know, well, God gives wisdom. He gives wisdom from the Scripture. He gives word of wisdom for specific situations. And then discerning of spirits, you know, so that we don't get tricked. You know, so we can know what's going on spiritually. Look at James chapter 1. James chapter 1. It says in verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom. Now, okay? If any of you lack, you know what, wisdom's like knowing what to do, okay? If any of you don't know what to do, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of who? God, that gives to all liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be what? Given him. You know, this is as he wills. So we read in Corinthians. This is the will to find out, the will to know, the will to go to God, the will to operate the manifestations as necessary. Look at Philippians chapter 2. You see, when you read the word, there's many records that if you don't understand that men or women are operating manifestations, it'll just stay kind of cloudy to you. I have a whole list of them. We're not going to have time to be able to look at them, but you know, there's a record in John 8 where a woman was taken in adultery and brought to Jesus. You're familiar with that record, and you know, and the religious leaders wanted to, you know, find out what Jesus would say, how to handle it, whether she should be stoned or not. And, you know, Jesus gets down and starts, you know, writing in the sand. Remember that? Now, that's odd behavior, really, when you stop and think about it. He says, well, you know, what are you doing, you know, writing in the sand? Here's a woman in very much of a crisis situation. She could be put to death. But when you understand what Jesus Christ is doing, that he's going to God to get guidance of how to handle it, you know, and then what comes, as it says here, it shall be given him. He gets the wisdom of what to do. And he says, you know, he that is without sin cast the first stone, right? There's a record in Kings where I think it's a Shunammite woman where her son dies and the man of God puts everybody out of the room and then he goes and lies on the kid's dead body, you know, remember that one? You know, just all kinds of records that you would say, if you don't see the Spirit of God in that, and don't see that it's people walking by the Spirit, it's just ridiculously odd behavior. Yeah, you know. But when you see the manifestations, now we can't really teach that as a key to the word's interpretation early in a person's walk, because they might not even know that there is such thing as Holy Spirit, or much less that there are manifestations. So you got to lay some groundwork, but it's a key. When you're reading the word, you look for the operation, the manifestations, and then as you see them, you will learn about how you too can operate them. In Philippians chapter 2, it says in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation," or your own deliverance, "with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh," where? "In you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure." It is God which works where? In you. Well, that's where God is, by the way. God in Christ in you. The gift of Holy Spirit. And God works in his people. I love verse 13 because it doesn't say God will work in you if you do this. You know, God won't work in you if you don't do that. You know what it says? It is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. You know what? God works in you. Now, there is a question of whether we recognize it. There's also a question that's brought up in the next verse. It says, "Do all things without murmurings and" what? "Disputings." You know, without complaining. You know, and the context of the all things would be do all things that God works in you. Now, there's a question. Are we going to recognize when God works in us? And then when we recognize it, are we going to do it? And God says, hey, when you do it, don't complain. Just do it. You know, that was some of the lesson last night, wasn't it, for Habakkuk? And, you know, to get away from, you know, sort of complaining and questioning stuff and just get, you know, very satisfied and blessed with the presence of the Lord and what he got to do so that he was jumping up and spinning around. But, man, what a great promise of God. It is God which works in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. He does. Now, it's our job to learn to recognize how God works in us. Certainly a great way that God works in us is he works via the written word. To close this, look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. God works in us via the word and via the Spirit. It says in verse 13, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh" where? "Also in you that" what? "Believe." So what works in you? The Word. This is how God works in us, the Word. You know, we saw earlier about how you can come to the Word and pray to God and God will open the eyes of your understanding. That's God working in you by the Scripture, by the Word speaking to you. He also works in us via the Spirit, by the operation of the manifestations. And really, the two go hand in hand. They work together. The Word explains the Spirit to us. The Spirit helps us to understand the Word. You know, God gave us the Word so that we could believe it. And when we believed it, we got the gift of Holy Spirit. And the Word explains how that Spirit operates so that we can carry out the Father's will. You can see how, in light of the Word and the Spirit, we are fully equipped. How we are, as we sang earlier, complete in Christ. You know, that which we have is a very complete package so that we can live for him. And we have the privilege of growing and learning how to operate these manifestations as we grow and learn from the Scripture. So, a wonderful encouragement for all of us to continue to be on the grow. Remember, these manifestations will operate in your life as you operate them. In other words, it's as you will to operate that God is then going to energize and you can produce the wonderful manifestations of Holy Spirit. So, a little bit on the Word of God is the operator's manual for Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father, for this morning we've had in the Word, and for the privilege that is ours to handle the divine revelation of the Bible and to be able to read it and see it, and Father, how we can apply it in our lives, how it is to us and for our learning. Father, I pray for each one of us that we will have wonderful opportunities to manifest the Spirit and to grow with you in the not only days and weeks ahead, but even the hours of this day. And that as we do, Father, that we'll see you work and that we can just praise you and be so thankful for how you've given us this great gift. So, Father, we give you the praise and glory and thank you for a wonderful morning in the Word. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.